Anybody need the Bible? Anyone need the Bible? Nobody need the Bible. Good. Turn your Bible with me to third chapter of Colossians. Third chapter of Colossians. What is the next book we are going to study?
Judges.
Very good. Please read ahead. Judges, third chapter of Colossians we are going to study tonight. Before our troops in the fighter jet new hostile territory, they receive many instructions. One of them is known as rules of engagement. In other words, what do we do when we face enemy soldiers? Do we fight with them? Do we fire at them first or what? In most cases, the rules of engagement for the American soldiers, defend yourself upon you being fired at. That's not a comfort, but we are trying to be different than the other people. Why is it making so much noise here? In other words, the Americans are supposed to be good guys, so we don't act like any other people, especially those the people who has a towel on their head, and the cruel enemy terrorists, they just shoot at people. We don't want to be like them, so we want to be different, and we're supposed to act different. Christians have our own rules of engagement for our daily lives, as a godly people, as a Christian. What kinds of rules of engagement? We are supposed to be different than rest of the world people. We come now to the line where we divide half of the Colossians. The first half is typical Apostle Paul's style. First half is a doctrinal truth, a theological truth. And then after that, he gives a practical insight. So he's giving us an insight here, what we're supposed to do with what we learned in the last two chapters. Let's sum it up. Chapter 1 and chapter 2 is what is the main theme of this Colossians? Anybody know? Supremacy of Christ, or preeminence of Jesus Christ. He is a preeminent of the creation. Why? Because he is the creator. He's a preeminent over the redemption because he is the redeemer. He is a preeminent over church because he is the one who sacrificed himself for the church. Now we come to a place where the Apostle Paul is demanding us to follow and his instruction be applying to our lives. So tonight's Bible study's title would be The Rules of Engagement of Godly Living. We cannot say that we are dedicated Christian or I and you are dedicated Christian when we live the lives that does not apply or reflect what we learn or what we know. We all heard walk the walk, talk the talk, right? It means we got to do the things what we know and what we say. Anybody can say it. Anybody can declare the truth. But the living does not follow, they become a hypocrite. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to your presence again and seeking your face and seeking your truth. We've learned what we're supposed to do. Now you're giving us a more practical instruction to us so that we may present Jesus Christ, our Savior, to the people around us in proper manner. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 3. If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above. Underline that, please. Set your mind on the things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And verse 4 needs to be underlined again. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Paul begins with this section where his focus is practical Christian living, where the shoe leather theology comes in practically. And this foundation is coming from the chapter 1 and chapter 2. So now we are trying to identify ourselves with Jesus Christ. And how we are going to identify ourselves with Jesus Christ in practical manner, I find it four different ways. And they all coincide with one another. Number one is spending time in the Word. Of course, it's a study. The Calvary Chapel emphasized this very much, as you can tell. Number two is spending time in prayer life. A third point, spending time with the things that build us up in God instead of merely entertaining us. We emphasize in worship. We ask you to get into the worship. When Mark and the worship team play in front of you guys, that's not to entertain you. They are not there to sing your favorite songs. So you can say, well, it was great worship. Why? Because it's the favorite songs we sang. It has nothing to do with you. We are worshiping God, not entertaining you. Am I making sense? So if all the songs are not something you're familiar with, think about the lyrics and worship Him. Even if you cannot sing a whole lot. If you're like me, probably you're entertaining yourself and God by punishing other people. That's okay. God gave you that voice. God loves your voice. But if you lift up your voice to Him, you're singing to Him in the presence of God. That's all matters. Forget about other people who are plugging their ears with the toilet paper or whatever. That's matter. Let them be. By gathering with the other believers in the Lord, we just did that. It's not a matter of eating. It's a matter of having a fellowship, keeping each other accountable. When other people were in need, we reach out to them and help to them. Number four, verse four that I asked you on the line, and I also asked you to on the line, set your mind on the things above. This is the things that it's going to repeat next throughout the study tonight. Verse 4, let's read it one more time. With Christ, who is our life, appeared, you also will appear with Him in glory. This is not going to happen now, but when the time comes, we get to the eternal life, we will come back to the earth with Him. Those who are in Christ Jesus will come back to the earth, but not as a babe our Christ will not come back as a babe in the manger, but He will come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the conquering King. He will destroy all the enemies, and we will appear with Him in glory. Because this kind of hope, because of this kind of comfort, our brothers and sisters around the world are willing to take a persecution and risking their lives. And they're literally dying for the name of Christ. How many people? A couple people around the world in a year? No. Try 100,000. 100,000 people get killed. Our brothers and sisters. So when we get called as a Bible thumper at workplace, and then we say, I've been persecuted. Oh, poor thing. That's nothing. We haven't seen the point of death, as Apostle Paul said. Let's continue in verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. I'm going to ask you to underline that, please. Covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you all yourselves once walked when you lived in them. After he named several sensual sins, sexual sins, the Apostle Paul added the covetousness, which is idolatry. What is covetousness? Somebody can define for me covetousness. Okay. That's a good definition. Anyone else? Envy is good, but it's a lot stronger than envy. Envy is like if I see Jack Lavery bought a Corvette, it's like, wow, that's cool. Yeah, with the salary I'm paying him, it ain't going to happen. Huh? Very good. Covetousness, huh? Greed plus anything that replacing God and plus ending somebody's debt doesn't belong to you. All in one. Covetousness is the kind of one that is a root thing for the fornication, uncleanness, passion, and evil desires, to be exact. Because you want something that is not yours, you want it at whatever cost. And that drives you, drives me, that we will do whatever we have to do, we try to get it. It becomes idolatry, become our God, little g God. Until we get that thing, we doesn't matter what it takes. If you remember, ninth commandment of 10 commandments. What is it? Speak out loud. Ninth one. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet. Yeah. Ninth. I think it's the ninth. Let's look at it. See if I'm lying. Exodus chapter 20. You could be right. I might. He is right? Okay. Tenth then. Tenth. I'm sorry. You're right. Spoon is right. Yay! Stone the preacher. Very good. All right, tenth commandment of tenth commandment, you shall not covet. Remember, the first four commandment is vertical relationship between God and you, and next sixth commandment is between you and the neighbors. And the last one is you shall not covet. Okay, how about this? Jesus said, "You cannot serve two masters." Either you serve God or money. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Covetousness, the person with the covetousness is never happy, never satisfied until they get the next dollar and next vehicle, or you fill in the blank. If you have a covetousness, I guarantee you will never be happy. I know a few people who are covetous and they are never happy. Nothing is good enough. Nothing will satisfy. So they're constantly going after something that cannot fill their void. This sin invites the wrath of God that we just read. The wrath of God is coming, and God allowed the sinners to continue in covetousness because that person's mind is made up and their person's idol, their God, is their own selfish mind. So the God is allowing them to go through that until his wrath is poured out in the full capacity. So as the children of God, we should not act like a sons of disobedience. Sons of disobedience will receive the wrath of God eventually, and we don't want to be in their shoes. We all sin, folks, right? We all struggle with the sin every day. It's one thing to struggle with a sin, but it's another thing to become habitual sin. And you no longer feel guilty about your sin, or you feel guilty, but you are going to do it anyway, then that is not really repentance. It's not even remorse. You're just dealing with that. And then it will come to a point you will be no longer remorseful, you no longer feel guilty. That's the point of no return. You'll head for the fall. And that's when the wrath of God will apply it. So we should not be the sons of disobedience. Did I say that you will lose salvation? You didn't hear that, right? Because I didn't say that. There will be the time you will say no to the Holy Spirit continuously. Am I saying that you're going to lose the salvation? Why you want to know? Stay close to Jesus. Then you don't ever have to find out. Verse 8, chapter 3. Now that you yourselves are to put off all these things, that's another important thing. Put off, that means get rid of it. Here's the other things that the Apostle Paul is trying to tell us. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off all man with the great his deeds. What did you notice in this list of sins? What is the common denominator? Let's read them. Huh? Yeah, that self is good. But what is the media? Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of the mouth. Do not lie to one another. Very good. Media is coming out of our mouth. Anger, a lot of people just spit out this angry word. And malice, you know what that is. Trying to destroy the other person. And blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. And lie, deception. This can be called as a little sins of Christian. Okay, in the verse 5 and 6. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness. Maybe we don't do that, but maybe blasphemy, maybe foul language, maybe anger, wrath, malice. Some people do this. Let's go to James chapter 3, verse 5. Some of you guys already know where it is. James is located way in the back of the New Testament, right after the Hebrews. James, chapter 3. James. Jimbo, chapter 3. Even so, the tongue, a little member of it, and boast great things, so I see how great for is a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and set on fire on course of nature. It is set on the fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and the creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and the Father. With it we curse man, who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth is proceeding blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things are not to be so. Does the spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the spring same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or grapevine bear figs? Does no spring yield both salt water and fresh? James is telling us clearly our tongue is the problem. As I said before, I never regret because I didn't say the word. I always have a problem with it. I say something and then I wish I didn't say that. I'm sure you had that kind of occasion. If the child learn, when the child learn how to speak, the first thing they start is what? Lie. They just know how to lie. You don't have to teach them. For example, a little Willie running into the home house and is yelling at mom, "Mama, mama, I saw a lion run across the yard." And mother said, "Willie, you know that is not a lion. That is a big dog that our neighbor has. So go upstairs and repent and ask God to forgive you." So Willie kind of looked at mother and went upstairs. In about 5 minutes, he ran downstairs. He said, "I'm done," mama asked. "So you ask God to forgive you?" He said, "Yes." But God said when he saw first, he thought he was a lion. See, the kid knows how to lie. Did you ever teach your kid how to lie? No. We just knew how to lie. Bill Cosby make a great remark about that one. He told his kid not to eat cookie. And he walked out from the kitchen, and when he went back into the kitchen, here's a kid that put the chair and put other books on the top and climbed up to the chair and to reach out in the cookie jar, which he left the cookie jar on top of the refrigerator. He has a cookie and his hand in the cookie jar like this and got caught. And Bill Cosby asked him, "What are you doing?" He said, "You want some cookie, Daddy?" That's the kinds of things that we do. It's not because we teach kids how to be bad. We just know. That innocent kid, angels that we raise, and once we were angels, whether we believe or not, they know how to become a sinner. If it's not controlled, will continue to go worse. Lying is something deep-rooted in the human heart, and every Christian somehow indulges it. Somehow we think that there's a little white lie. Is there such a thing as a little white lie? No. Let's go to another things. Foul language. Verse 8. Let's go back to verse 8 in Colossians. It's better if I go back to the Colossians first. "But now you yourself put off to these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth." How many times I've seen some of the Christians and they use filthy language without thinking twice about it? Why is it necessary for us to use that kind of language? One time my wife and I went to Christian banquet, and the speaker was using Lord's name in vain. I just about croaked right on the spot. And how dare he to use God's name in vain? Yes, I understand he is from England, and the England culture is a little bit different. But it doesn't matter. It's using Lord's name in vain. If we use that kind of language, what are we different? What are we different than the rest of the world? Again, the rules of engagement. Why the America is trying to put our soldiers in harm's way and not to fire at the enemy unless you get fired at first. Because we don't want to be the bad guy. Same thing here. If we use the same kinds of rules of engagement as the worldly people, what are we different? If we are using the same kinds of language, how can we represent Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, as ambassador of Jesus Christ to the world? We are misrepresenting our Savior to the world. Am I making sense? So if you are using any foul language, as of now, please stop. I've been saved for 17 years. I admit that I used the foul language about 5 times in 17 years. Actually, they are not even bad language, but to me is bad enough. How can we control our tongue? Think before you say. Simple. My mother always told me, think before you say something. Wow, what a concept. Right? It's our choice. If we think before we say something, we can remove wrath, we can remove malice, we can remove the blasphemy, we can remove the filthy language out of our vocabulary. Can we converse with other people without using foul language? Yes. Wow, what an idea that is. We can do it very easily. This is the practical application for us. Verse 10 of chapter 3. Now have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek or Jew or circumcised or non-circumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slaves nor free, but Christ is all and in all. That is the main point of the whole book of Colossians. Christ is all and in all. If we take old garment off, if we take them off, we need to put on a new garment. We cannot run around naked, right? Let me put it this way. If we get rid of the old nature, which is sinful nature, we must replace with the godly nature in our heart. If we don't do that, the first day, we will be worse than the first stage. Have you ever heard that before? Yes, Jesus said that. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. Matthew 12, 43. When an unclean spirit goes out of man, he goes through the dry places and seeking rest, finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And he comes and he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. This is the old nature is gone, but the new nature, God's nature, is not in this man's life yet. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first, and shall be also be with this wicked generation. Some people decide that they're going to clean up their lives, so they do, but they don't receive Jesus Christ into their heart. Guess what happened? They'll go back to the old habit again and again. I'm sure you've seen those people who clean up their lives for a while and they get worse because they don't receive Jesus Christ into their heart. God is respect of no man. He doesn't care whether we are Gentile or Greek or Jew. He doesn't care. White or yellow rice paddy. It doesn't matter to him. Skin color doesn't matter to him. What matters to him is heart. If we come to him with a genuine heart, he receives us. Just side note, barbarian is known as a heathen of that world. Let's look at the wall picture. Okay, we're going to do some geography lesson. What's this? Africa. Very good. Here's Spain. Here's England. France. Here's a bush shape. Italy. There's Greece. Greece down here. And Turkey right here. Oh, somebody has two. All right, this is the Black Sea. This north of the Black Sea is known for the home of barbarian. Or the when you go up here, that's all connected there. The Germani, known as Germani now, is currently Germany. They're all barbarian. However, this barbarian is nothing to compare with the Scythian who lives around the Caspian Sea. This is the Caspian Sea. This Caspian Sea, the barbarians are so, the Scythians are so bad, and they, let me put it this way. Scythians, they will kill enemy soldiers, and they will cut the head of enemy soldiers, split open, and they will drink the blood of an enemy soldier with the scalp of the enemy head. That's the kinds of people whom we're dealing with. So even though those people are starting to get saved because the word is spread from here, Rome, to all the way to the Asia Minor and all the way to Scythian's territory. And those barbarians are getting saved, and because of grace of God, and God says, it doesn't matter to me. That's the grace of God. Again, as I said before, there's no sin that God cannot save. God's arm is not short that he cannot reach out to the people. Let's continue in verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on the tender mercies. Now, all this time, Apostle Paul is saying, put off, take them off. Don't wear the old garment. But now he's telling us, wear a new garment. Here's a new garment. Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. The new man is chosen by God, elected. Elect, you might want to jot it down, elect is the same word as chosen. Think about it, you are chosen. Your name is written on the Lamb's Book of Life. Before the creation of the universe, God knew you by name. That is an awesome thought. Sometimes we may wonder what kinds of plan God has for us. And we want to know. The reason why we want to know is because we want to make a suggestion to him. If we don't like it, God, would you take a suggestion? I have a better idea than yours. Really. Let's go to Jeremiah 29:11. A lot of times this is many people's favorite verse, Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11. You might want to memorize this verse, and this will give you encouragement in your heart. For I know that I have a plan for you, declares the Lord, plan to prosper you, not to harm you, plan to give you hope and future. I just quote it in the NIV because that's how I memorized it. I have a plan for you to prosper you. This is nothing to do with the money, but to not to harm you, plan to give you hope and a future. I don't know what kind of plan he has for me, but I know his plan is far better than mine. I will take his plan over mine any day. It may not be the way I want it, but who cares? My daddy knows best, right? Remember the criteria Jesus gave regarding how the world would judge his people? John chapter 13:35 says, they will know that you are my children if you love one another. Let's go back to what we said in verse 14. Let's remember here. But above all these things, put on the love. This is how we get to know each other. The other people will know that we are Christian by love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do in the word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Folks, this is the application. Go back to verse 17. Whatever you do, do it in the word or deed, Do it all time, all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him through to the Father through him. In the name of the Lord. There is no such a thing as a super secret method for Christians to do anything special. Do this. You will please Father in heaven. I read, some of you read that too this morning. I really like that. Marriage is a two forgiving people. Did you read that thing this morning? I really like that rendition. Marriage is two forgiving people united together. If we do the same thing for one another, there won't be a church split. Calvary Tucson just went through the difficulty. Some of you guys heard what I said at the leadership meeting. They lost two key people in the staff. One assistant pastor who has been there for a long time, and another guy who did the media thing. One of them got fired and one of them had resigned. It's because they couldn't agree with Pastor Robert in a theological way. Why is it necessary for them to walk away from the step position? You and I can disagree in the theology. You and I can disagree. We agree to disagree in some of the things. Basic things, we must agree. But when we're going to do the ministry together, it's a different story. We have to stay in the right, same course. But what if I insist my way and you are in the position you have to disagree? You can disagree. But make sure you're doing right things. And if I'm in wrong, you forgive me. Am I making sense? When we're in ministry and we disagree, I'm not talking about methodology. I'm talking about theology. When we're making a big difference in theology, in ministry, we have to make it an agreement. I'm not talking about congregation. You can come join our church and still disagree. You can be Calvinist, you can be Arminianist, that's fine. But when we come to the ministry, it's a different story. We cannot walk together, as the word said, how can we walk together when we have two separate minds? We cannot. Not only that, it gives a wrong direction to the people. For example, so far, Jack and I are pretty much in one accord. If I say sky is red, and he said sky is red. Yeah, he's a colorblind. And he doesn't care. See, what he's doing with me is he's working with me. I'm not asking for yes men. But if you are going to work with me in the ministry, we have to be in the sync. Otherwise, we have to talk it over. That is a very important thing because a lot of times people get the wrong impression and, well, what's this? This or that? And it gives the confusing element to the people. Am I saying that I'm always right? You just witnessed I was wrong. I said a ninth commandment, Spoon said 10th commandment. Correct me if I'm wrong. But we have to be in sync to work together. Have you ever played that kind of game? You tie the legs together and you are supposed to run together and you want to push your left leg forward and that person want to push the left leg forward but that person is tied with his right leg is tied with my left leg. We cannot do that. Forgiving one another is a very good thing. However, there is a line need to be drawn. When it comes to theology, we have to stay in the same course. I'm not talking about some silly theology like a speaking in tongue, that kind of thing. You go to town. I don't care what you do with it. As long as you stay in this Bible. You interpret differently, I'll let you get by. But when it comes to the main theology, we cannot negotiate. Am I making sense? You guys been around the Calvary Chapel already quite some time. That's why I can relate this kind of thing to you guys. We have to stay in the same course. Main theology, no negotiation. Let's stand up and pray.